You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 198. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the designated adult, John Brownstone.
So I've heard.
Somebody has to be.
Yeah.
This week, because it's the week of Thanksgiving and we're recording the day before Thanksgiving and my brain is full and John Brownstone's brain is full, we're just answering some questions that have been in our inbox and DMs for a while.
Question me this.
Maybe by the time you see the title, I'll have figured out what to call this and how to categorize this. But basically, we're just answering some questions. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. Big shout out, as always, to our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We see you, we love you, we thank you. If you'd like access to more stuff from us, like where we actually answer questions in a live Q&A, and we do our bonus section podcast of 30 minutes of us just rambling, and sneak peeks and other stuff and all that good stuff, come join us on Patreon, patreon.com/KaylaLords. You can join for as little as a dollar a month and get access to all that extra content. But if you pick a higher amount per month, you get access to more perks. Full disclosure, we're at the end of 2019. Those perks will be modified for 2020. No, I don't know how yet. So if you sign up in 2019, just know that it will change slightly for 2020. Anyway, patreon.com/KaylaLords, or just go to the link in the show notes. Okay, so announcements. Anybody who is here later for the live stream people and, of course, the podcast people, we're still not on the topic, y'all. If you're watching later, fast forward a little bit. I got announcements. One is a reminder for any of our Florida peeps who can get to, or anybody who can get to Orlando and wants to, December 7th. We will be there.
Yes.
Selling our kinky wares. It's an opportunity to get into the Woodshed, which is a BDSM dungeon club space in Orlando, at no charge for that event. If you stay later or come back later for the play party or the event that they're doing that night, there would be a charge for that. But if you've never been to a dungeon and you're a Florida person who can, or a person who can get to Orlando December 7th from 3 to 7, come join us. We will be selling canes and paddles and plugs and all the weapons of mass destruction. And I'm not going to spend too much time talking about that because we talk about that every week. It's just a reminder. If you're interested in it, we have the link to the FetLife event. If you're watching in the video, it's in the description box below. If you're listening to the podcast, it's in the show notes page. So,
and they're also doing a charity raffle.
Oh, yeah. And you're making something special for the charity raffle.
I've got a couple items to give to the raffle. A couple unique little items that I've made.
Things that you literally cannot get on his shop yet.
Nope.
Now, eventually, soon, maybe, but definitely not yet. So if you are a Florida person or a person who can get to Orlando December 7th, we highly recommend it. One, because we don't even expect anybody to come to our, I mean, we'd like people to come to our little table and spend some money. But mostly we like it when we can, like, put names to faces and say hi.
That's true.
All that good stuff.
Very true.
Okay. The next announcement is that we have a sponsor. We have a sponsor. Podcast listeners, you can't see it, but I did my little sponsor dance. That's a thing.
It's cute.
No, that's not the word we're going to use. Sad. Sad is the word we're going to use. And I would like to thank BDSMcontracts.org for being our sponsor this week. Nobody is required to have a contract in their DS or kinky life, but some people really like them, and some people want help on how to write them up. Some people want them to feel really official, and BDSMcontracts.org does that for you. Highly customizable templates. You can do a digital version. So for my impatient folks out there, you can buy it, download it. It's there. But you can also order hardback or paperback versions. So you have a physical thing in your hand. The vast majority of them are gender neutral. I think the only one that's not gender neutral is the DDLG book. They are all completely customizable, meaning that there's no set language you have to use, and there's no set power dynamic you have to have if you're interested in having a contract, this is the place to go. Funny story, we talked about them last week. They had a sponsored post, blog post on our website, lovingbdsm.net, if you have not checked that out. And I sent those links to the person who owns the company. And I'm like, okay, here, we did this thing. Hope hope that was great, da, da, da. And she comes back with, oh my gosh, you've already linked to me in an old episode. And I had to go back and look. And it was an episode 64, I think, on contracts. And I'm like, I said, I knew you sounded familiar. And she's like, I'll sponsor that page. I'm like, no. I linked to you in good faith. I didn't know you existed. I just looked at your site and went, yes, this is a resource I would be happy to send people to. So we have actually, in a weird way, been connected to BDSMcontracts.org since episode 60-something. So basically 2016. So if you're interested, it's bdsmcontracts.org. Link in the show notes. Link in the description box for video watchers. Use code LOVINGBDSM, all one word. You save 20%. Yes, that's an affiliate link, so we make a commission if you do that. And in the next couple weeks, we're going to have a video where we're showing these up close and a giveaway. So not that I'm trying to get people to not like go buy something. I'm just saying there's going to be a giveaway. So yeah, thank you to BDSMcontracts.org for sponsoring the episode. We are all about that. So, yes. Oh, my third announcement. Kayla's not allowed to do numbers. This is just the fact. So last week, I was super excited about episode 200. It's coming. Episode 200 is coming. We're going to do an Ask Us Anything, which means I need to get like on the ball and start soliciting questions in a place where I can actually keep up with them.
Yep.
But I had miscounted. I think I thought we were going to take Thanksgiving week off. And clearly we have not done that. And so I thought episode 200 was going to be the last episode of 2019. And it still can be. We could take 3 weeks off. It's our prerogative. And it might be. Quite frankly, I'm exhausted already. And we hadn't even really gotten into the Christmas season. But yeah, so no. official word, Kayla's not allowed to do numbers. Yes, we will do an Ask Us Anything for episode 200, which is two episodes away. But I was off by a week because numbers are hard. So, okay, we are going to get into the episode, which, reminder, since I've been rambling for so long to everybody, is just some questions, comments, thought exercises we've received because my brain is tired and I wanted something to be less challenging. And I don't know that this is not going to be challenging because these are some like kind of deep questions. Now, for anybody who, if you recognize yourself in this question, one, it could be because you sent me the question, or two, it's because it's a more common thing that people realize. I am taking out identifying details to maintain people's anonymity. So this is the first one. I am in an open marriage with my sub. My sub is playing with another DS couple, and my sub has experienced a few firsts. Subspace for the first time, marks from impact play, and specifically the marks from that, the impact play, the person writing in says those are things that they thought their sub did not want to do with them, that they had never indicated they wanted to do with them before. So it's a comment, but the question is implied.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of trouble with all of these firsts with another top, with another person doing this, not, you know, the person writing in is like, I'm their dom and I'm not getting to have these firsts with them. What do you think?
My first thought is, the two of you really need to sit down and have a good talk.
Yes, that was my first thought too. Okay.
I mean, you know, not out of being upset, not, you know, definitely not out of anger, but y'all just really need to have a good heart-to-heart talk. And the other thing that comes to mind with this is, you know, Kayla and I have somewhat of an open relationship. Okay.
He is open in
reality. I am, yeah, I am more open.
I am an open in theory.
Right. But, you know, one of the things that we did early on was, you know, because of that, we had to sit down and we set very specific boundaries. and rules that we govern, that this is governed by.
Right. And also, to add to that, as we've gone through the reality, some rules we thought were important or some things we didn't think we had to adjust.
It shifted since.
Yeah.
But, you know, just kind of looking at this, you know, at a glance, you know, yeah, definitely is going to have to be a very heart-to-heart talk. And, you know, I think there need to be some boundaries set on both sides.
Sure.
You know, as to how this will proceed. And, you know, the fact that this upsets you a little bit, and I guess it would me too, I think, a little bit, that's kind of human nature. But, you know, that kind of lends itself to the fact that, you know, you two need to talk and kind of see what you want to discover between the two of you.
And I agree. I have an opposing thought as well.
Okay.
I do agree with you. I think that if you're in an open relationship and one side of the slash is playing with another person mm-hmm. or couple that also has power dynamics involved, right? I think that it is important that as you find things that you're discovering it's important to you that you want to be there first for those things. I think it's important to have those conversations. I think it's important to say that. Like, hey, if I would like to be your first, that would be important mm-hmm. to me. But here's the thing that I would caution against. If this relationship is open and you are within the boundaries that you set, and yes, I absolutely agree, you have to both mutually agree to what's going to be okay and what's not.
Right.
Absolutely. But once you send your partner out into the world and they start experiencing things with other people consensually and in a way that you are as comfortable as you can be in any given moment,
because mm-hmm.
That does change and fluctuate over time, that's the reality. There are going to be things that they experience because it came up in the moment or because it was right with that dynamic that they have mm-hmm. with somebody else. And so I would be very cautious about trying to limit your partner's experiences with other partners.
True.
That doesn't mean you should not express your feelings about it. I would get a little introspective even before you have a conversation with your partner about these things, because sometimes we say we're uncomfortable. We say we're this, we say we're that. When what we feel is what we would commonly call jealousy, which we did an entire episode ages yes. ago about jealousy, which most jealousy is envy or it's insecurity. So if you're in this situation and you are feeling some kind of way that your partner's out there having these experiences mm-hmm. without you, first take a moment to do a self-check. Like, is it because you're feeling a little left out? Is it because you're feeling insecure? Like maybe they will like that with that other person better. Those are things to sort of think about as well. So that when you have the conversation, instead of sort of going, I demand to be your first for everything, which that could come across as a little gross.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
That could come across as not great. But maybe to say, I want to experience these things with you too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes me feel, insert your emotion, that I've missed out on this first time. Can we explore other firsts together? Or, you know, now that you've had this experience, can we have our own version of this experience? Because here's the thing I would tell the person who is having this moment where they're realizing their partner is having firsts with other people. They're having that experience with that couple or that person. Even if you mimicked down to the smallest detail every moment, it would still be a different experience with you.
Right.
Because the energy exchange is different, because the dynamics between you are slightly different.
The nuances are different.
Absolutely. So maybe they had their first marks from impact play, considering that was part of the question or the email, with that couple. So what can you do together that would be a first for the two of you? That would be fulfilling for both of you. And it could still be impact play. It could still be those exact same toys. It could still be that exact mm-hmm. same level of intensity, but it is still going to be different because it's the two of you and it's going to be your own first together. So I agree completely. Absolutely, there needs to be a conversation.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you have not sort of talked about your boundaries with open relationship, or you have not readjusted them. Because that's the thing I was saying before. We set terms and limits and agreements that we could both live with, but then it actually had to go out there and survive reality. And that is when, you know, one or both of us would discover, oh, that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not, I don't. And sometimes something doesn't, quote, work for me because I've got my own insecurities to deal with. The night John Brownstone went to the club and played with somebody else, well, didn't play at the club, mm-hmm. but had a moment with somebody else, it ate me up. I was a wreck. I cried myself to sleep out of self-pity, and it was self-pity. It was my insecurities just bubbling right on up. And I stopped myself from calling him because I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't think he's, I know he loves me. I know mm-hmm. he's coming home to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was okay with this when it was in theory. What is it now that's freaking me out? And it was my own insecurities and it was my problem. Now, it didn't mean we didn't need to deal with it together later, but the last right. thing I was going to do was call him in the middle of the night and demand all of his attention because I was feeling insecure. So it was a very long night for me. I was very fragile the next day when he came home. Like, I had to plaster on the customer service smile to get through that day because then I was seeing the person he was with and I was genuinely happy that they'd had a good time. But that didn't change my very sensitive feelings about a good time was had without me. And then we talked about it. And we yeah. talked about it outside of that moment where part of talking about it was me going, that was really hard for me. And it made me feel these ways. Now, here's the thing. Your partner is not necessarily responsible for how you feel about something. They can help you through mm-hmm. them. They can, if they choose, modify some of what they do. But only if they choose, not if they're bullied into it, not if they're manipulated into it, not if they're coerced into it, not if they're guilted into it, but because it feels right to them and it's something that they're willing to do without sacrificing their own needs in the process. So that's part of my stance on it as well, because I've been the one out there going, but you just got to do that thing and I didn't get to do that thing and I wanted to do that thing. Well, the thing is we get to do our own thing.
Yeah.
If I recall, that night or within a couple days of that, we did do our own thing. Thank you very mm-hmm. much. And it was good for me. It reaffirmed our bond and connection because mm-hmm. that was the thing that I was struggling with while he's off having a good time for a night. And I said, excuse me, hiccup there. I sent him off. I was like, have fun. Text me when you get there. And then it was when I imagined that the quote action was happening that I was like, oh. Okay, I'm not doing so hot. But my view on that is that was my problem to deal with on my own until he got home and we could talk about it. And we did talk about it. And nothing that came from that conversation is that he won't go do that again if the opportunity presents itself. He will. I actually now have the experience that tells me he's going to come home to me and we're going to be fine. And if I have some kind of feelings about it, we can talk about it when he's home.
That's right.
And also once he's home, he will beat my ass and fuck me silly. And the bond will be reaffirmed and I will be happy.
See?
Yes.
There you go.
So I don't think you can try to stop your partner from having their own first time experiences
mm-hmm.
with other people. If you're going to maintain an open relationship, that's going to happen. But I do think you can speak about it honestly and from the heart and then say, okay, you're going to have these experiences. I can't really stop it. Let's have our own. Let's reconnect. Mm-hmm. Let's explore these things together. Let's actively try some firsts together. What is it that you're interested in we haven't done yet? And that way you can have your own bit of that without interfering in what they're already doing. Because I think that could be problematic. Okay, so I'm going to go to the next question, comment, thought All exercise. Right. This one is a very broad question.
Okay.
And I've almost sent the person the response of go to lovingbdsm.net, but we don't actually have a direct answer for this, so that would not have been helpful. Okay. I'm very vanilla, and I was approached by this dom on Tinder, mm-hmm. and I was wondering if you have any advice for a vanilla interested in trying the lifestyle to see if it's a good fit.
Mm.
Like, if you're brand new vanilla, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
I read sex blogs. That's what I did. I'm not sure that's the answer. I mean, I'm all about some sex blogs, but I'm not sure that's the answer.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Start slow. Do not... jump into anything. I mean, it depends on what you're talking about trying. There are a lot of different things in DS, BDSM that you can try, from a power exchange, from, you know, being a masochist or sadist.
I mean, you can start with kinky sex with a little bit of spanking and orgasm control, if that's your thing.
Well, spanking is the gateway kink.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's the gateway drug for sure.
Yeah.
But also that moment where you're like, whose orgasms are these? Oh, God damn, yeah, they're yours. They're totally yours.
Part of the power exchange, yeah.
But you know what? And this is a time I would say, now y'all know I lecture all the time that we've got to stop trying to live the airbrushed version of BDSM erotica because it's fun and sexy, but it's not realistic. This is the one time I would say that this is the moment to go kind of get filthy. Filthy in the good way. I don't mean that in the pejorative way. This is the time to go read something sexy, watch something sexy, listen to something sexy, audio porn, erotic podcast. Those do exist. Because if you are pure vanilla and you've got somebody who's like, hey, I'd like to like lead you into this and explore with you. I'm going to tell you to be very cautious of the person who's pulling you in, unless you know them really well. In this case, it's somebody on Tinder that doesn't have a good reputation.
Yeah.
And so it's easy for a predator to go, hey, I'll show you the ropes, just do everything I say, when really that might work, but really what you need to do is have an idea independent of that, because a manipulator and an abuser and a predator can use that. So this is the moment I would tell somebody who identifies as very vanilla to go have some fantasies, like to go out there and just kind of look or read or listen and see what kind of turns you on. Just because something turns you on does not mean that's what you need to go do. There are some things I read that are hardcore. some of the first BDSM erotica I read was on Literotica. It was so taboo. I thought like the police were going to come take me to jail while I was reading it.
I used to love Literotica back in the day.
And it was, but I was like, I was shocked at myself for what I liked. And I liked the power. I liked the helplessness. I liked the humiliation. But I would never have wanted those specific things. So if you're a vanilla who's like, I'm gonna go read me some BDSM erotica, do not think that that's then the template for exactly what you're going to do. But what you're trying to figure out is what connects with you, what speaks to you. Is it a partner who spanks you? Is it a partner who takes care of you and is like nurturing, like the caregiver role? Is it humiliation? Is it kneeling and sexy stuff? Is it somebody owning your organ? Like, what draws you in?
Yeah.
And that's a place of many to start. If you are vanilla and you're approached by a kinky person, the other thing I would say is if at any point they tell you that they have all the answers and all you have to do is do what they tell you, I want you to run. I want you to block and run. Block and run. Because actually, a responsible kinkster bringing somebody kind of over to the dark side, don't worry, we have cookies, and also spankings.
Cookies after the spanking.
They're going to say something like, here's how I see it, here's how I view it, but also, if you're interested, here are some resources.
Right.
Loving BDSM would be a great resource.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, one, we have the 30 Days of DS Workbook.
Right.
Okay. Which
that's
would
kind
be,
of intense if you're brand new vanilla, but
But the questions would get them thinking. All right. The other piece that I would say is something I used to get questioned a lot on Tumblr, people asking, and I would steer them towards submissive guide.
Oh my God. If you think you're identifying as submissive, or the partner you're like talking to wants you to be the submissive, submissiveguide.com is the place. It is the place.
And they have a lot of educational resources in there, from everything from someone just stepping into the lifestyle to someone who has been in the lifestyle many, many years.
Right. And so that's the thing. Like, you're willing to explore. You kind of know what turns you on. You're kind of interested. And you're talking to this person who's the kinkster. If they're telling you there's one right way, one true way, their way is the only way, block and run.
Yeah.
And advice for anybody who is finding themselves in this position, you're the kinky one, and you're like, I'm interested in this vanilla person. if they're willing to have the conversation and sort of learn more about it, always offer up the resources you trust. That's just a gateway too. You can come to us. We love it. That's great. Use us as a resource, but we've got a resource page. We're going to link to people. We're going to talk about other sites. Like one, there's never one perfect resource for everybody. It should just be sort of a starting point. YouTube, Evie Lupin, what's the safe word? Like there are people out there in every space, like however you get your media, to follow and learn from. And so that's the other thing. If somebody is trying to, you know, convince you or entice you into, hey, you identify, you feel like you're pretty vanilla, but hey, come over here to the kink side with me. They need to have an understanding that depending on what they're asking for, like in this case, this question was specifically, they are a dom, or they think they are. So that tells me that they're interested in something that's probably closer to DS or some kind of power exchange and not just, hey, we're going to have kinky sex. Like, while communication and consent and negotiation and blah, blah, blah is all important for kinky sex, the level that you do between kinky sex and a full power exchange dynamic is a little bit different. So they're saying dom, then they should also be saying, hey, you're going to need to learn about this stuff. Be wary of the kinky person approaching you who's like, no, you don't have to learn anything. Just go with how you feel, or here, just listen to everything I tell you. Ooh. Yeah, that's cool for kinky sex. Maybe with the right person. But a power exchange of some sort where it's a little bit more defined and it's got some structure to it. And not even like full structure. I'm not even talking 24/7. I mean any kind. They should be telling you, here's how I see it, but also here's where you can go to learn more. And they should not be, what's the word I want? There's a word and it's not coming to my mind. But they should not feel insecure. That's not the word I want. But they should not feel weird when, they should not hesitate. I'm struggling today. They should not hesitate to tell you that you need to go educate yourself and that they're not the only resource. Right. When a kinky person tries to tell you they're the only one you need to learn from, that's a huge red flag, because that's not true at all. So yeah, to figure out what kinks you might be willing to explore for a vanilla person, that's when I'm going to tell you to go into the realm of fantasy. Go read something, go listen to something, go watch something, you know, see what speaks to you, reject what doesn't. That's fine. Know that what you're seeing is not the end all be all. Because even if, you know, it's easy to go find hardcore cis male doms with cis female subs who are all like, you're going to follow my every rule, right? Like, that kind of turns me on a little bit, but I know enough now to go, no, that's not working for me. And something might not work for you because it's that specific kind of dynamic that's being portrayed. So focus on what does work for you, because it's all, there's plenty to explore, and then pay attention to how the person's approaching you. So before you get involved with anybody, once you're like, oh yeah, I'm here for the spanking, I'm here for the, you know, tie me up, I'm here for the whatever, take control during sex thing, whatever it might be. But then the person approaching you is like acting like they're the end all be all, kick them to the curb and keep reading your erotica and watching your porn until learning and growing, if that's the direction you even want to go. There is not a damn thing wrong with not being kinky. I mean, it's my preferred mode and it's how I express myself sexually. I don't do sex that doesn't have certain elements of my kink in it. But that's also perfectly okay to go, okay, I went and explored and, ooh, totally not into this. And so, no thank you. That's okay. You know, that's the other thing. There's no rule that says we all need to like go convert all the vanillas to kinky. We don't have to. You can be vanilla. Vanilla does not need to be an insult.
No.
Okay. Just saying. Okay. So, we only have one more.
Okay.
This one gave me some thoughts. It's a thought exercise.
I had seen that question.
I know. And I was like, And sometimes for anybody who's ever sent us a question and been like, why did it take these people so fucking long to answer? Or why have they not answered me? Because sometimes I'll get like this one that we're about to read and it would take me an hour because I've got so many thoughts. I'm not going to talk for an hour on this one. I'm purposely not. But
thank you.
I could. And the question is, and I'm pretty sure people listening or watching will have their own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there more trust and communication in a DS relationship than a vanilla one? And if so, why? Oh, I have thoughts, but if I start, you might not get a chance to talk.
Okay.
You better go.
I mean, right off the bat, I want to spout out, yes, of course there is. And is that necessarily true? Maybe not. Are there vanilla relationships that have a deep level of trust and communication? Yeah. You don't hear about them. Because in the DS world, it's talked about more. So, you know, I think the best way to explain this, when I was a kid, give me a second to gather my thoughts on this. Teacher asked the question, if there are more divorces between famous people, musicians, actors, than your everyday person. And most all the class at that time answered, why, of course, the actors and musicians and them, they divorce is rampant in their lifestyle. And he was like, no, it's really not. You have more divorces in day-to-day life. You just hear about those people more because they are
sure.
more notable.
Right. Somebody's talking about them.
Right.
Yeah.
So the same thing could probably be applied to the BDSM world.
And I would also say, interject slightly, that there should not be any difference in the level of trust between a DS relationship and a vanilla relationship.
True.
A relationship that can stand the test of time and can usually work through most things needs a healthy level of trust and communication. And that is absolutely possible in vanilla relationships.
Mm-hmm.
The outcomes of there not being good trust and communication in a way are similar. Somebody's getting hurt. The difference is in DS, somebody could literally get physically hurt and go to a hospital.
Or emotionally.
Or be triggered in some way that sends them through some serious mental and emotional breakdowns. And there's the degrees vary of what's happening because of the way that we tend to interact in DS. But my first thought was there might be more trust and communication in DS relationships than your average vanilla relationship, but also there should not be.
Yeah.
We should all, regardless of our flavor, have an understanding or be raised with or be taught or in some way have access to the information that talks about how the importance of trust and communication, and then to be in relationships that are healthy for us, and we're not all vanilla or kinky in healthy relationships, where we can foster that so that in whatever way our whatever kind of relationship we need to be fulfilled, we have it with a partner that we trust and but to go back to it, are DS relationships, do they have the good ones? And it is because we emphasize it. Any good BDSM resource you find, not just us, we're not the only ones. We did not make this up, are going to tell you, you've got to talk to one another. You've got to communicate clearly. You've got to do the work to not just build trust initially, but to maintain it. I'm sure they're out there, but they're not resources I'm following. They're not vanilla resources that frame the conversation that way. What they do is they give you these clickbaity headlines of how to make him feel special. That's a Cosmo thing. Little things you can do for your boyfriend. And I'm
yes.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But What is that in the broader context of? Because we speak in BDSM and DS, we talk about these things in the broad context of this is how you have a happy, healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. Also, this is how you earn somebody's submission or dominance. Also, this is how you stay physically and emotionally safe when you play. But in the vanilla world, you very rarely get those kinds of contexts, cues mm-hmm. and clues as to why these things are important. Because the thing that not... most outlets that cater to the non-kinky among us don't talk about is that in any relationship, there's a power structure. Part of what can cause problems in a vanilla relationship is that nobody talks about that power structure, and so you're butting heads.
There's no defined...
Right. And I don't mean that everybody's in a power exchange and one person's always the dominant, one person's always the submissive. That's what I'm not... I am not saying that. Think back to your vanilla relationships. Who was the one that was good with the bills? Shouldn't they have been the one in charge of paying the bills if they weren't? Who is the one that was great with keeping things organized? That's the one that should probably be in charge of that. Mm-hmm. If they choose to. That's the other key there. Yeah. Who's the better cook? That's the person who should probably cook. Who loves to do that thing? That's the person. And it's one person doing a thing and maybe another person assisting them. It's not a DS power exchange or power imbalance, but it is a, this is my responsibility. I need you to help. This is your responsibility. You need me to help. This is the thing you're good at. So you, if you're willing, I need you to do that. And this is the thing I'm good at. So this is what, and it's a shift in power.
Right.
Who's in responsibility. Maybe power is not the right word. Responsibility. Vanilla relationships. We have them at work. We have them at school. We have them with our friendships. We have them with our peer groups. We have them in our relationships. It's just in BDSM and DS, we classify it and we get really, really specific with it. And we are, and the power imbalance and the power exchange is much more defined and in some ways much more exaggerated. And I mean exaggerated, like we are in a 24/7 DS relationship. Neither of us switches. I am always the submissive to his dominant. I'm always the baby girl to his daddy dom. That's how we connect in our relationships.
Right.
So even when there's something I do better or he puts me in charge of, he still ultimately has the power. And that's how we define the exaggerated power imbalance that in a vanilla relationship won't look like that. It won't be that defined. It won't be that articulated. But that's part of, not all, but part of the problems that some, and I know this from my own experience, that some vanilla relationships face is that nobody talks about the, I need you to do that because you're good at that. And I need to just help you do that. I need to let you take the lead on this because you're good at that. And what ends up happening is we're supposed to be 50-50 equal all the time. And everybody's opinion needs to weigh the same. Everybody's opinion needs to be heard. But I'm sorry, the expert needs to, their opinion might be worth a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so in vanilla relationships, we butt heads. And because nobody's teaching us in general as a society how to communicate with each other, especially in relationships, then there's the communication's not there to figure out these power structures and imbalances from task to task, from thing to thing. In DS, it's different. It's for some of us, it's all or nothing. For some of us, it's very, very specified. But you know once you have that conversation and you figure your dynamic out, you know where you stand and where the other person stands. And in vanilla relationships, most of them just don't work that way.
Right. And, you know, and
maybe they should.
And I don't think that it's in DS that it's any better than a vanilla relationship.
Mm-mm.
It's just talked about more because it is such an important thing.
Right.
Now, if you spend any time on FetLife, you see quite a bit where there's relationships, failed communication, consent violations, you know, trust issues. It happens just as much.
It's a people thing.
Yeah.
It's not a DS versus vanilla thing. It's a people and our skills thing. And sometimes, this is not universally true, but I know this is mostly true for myself. I am willing to put in the time and effort it takes to learn things like communication skills, to build trust, when I'm really with somebody I want to be with. And when I am not with somebody I really want to be with, I'm not investing that much emotional space and time and effort. I'm not giving it my all. And what I think happens, and this is, again, this is not the only reason why this doesn't work. It is one small little tiny detail in a grand scheme of things that happens. But when it's not a good fit, whether it's the dynamic or it's the person, and also you're not in the right space, headspace for what you're trying to do, it becomes more difficult to put in that effort, especially when you know it is an effort. When you know you don't know how to, you've never had to do this before, you've never communicated before, you're like, I got to build trust. I showed up. Don't you trust me? I told you to trust me.
Yeah.
Right? Like when people are confronted with the fact that these are skills and it takes time and they're going to have to put in work, some people like freak and just can't handle it. They're like, well, got to go. I'm out. And some people, we've seen it. How many times I can't be the only one. You were in a relationship with somebody, vanilla or kinky, doesn't matter. And you are putting in the effort, and you're watching them and they're not putting in the effort. And you're like, yo, if we like did this together, we might, I'm trying here. I'm trying to make a happy relationship for us. I need you to do your part, right? That relationship ends. And then somehow, because you're Facebook stalking, because you're still connected on FET, like, I don't know how you're connected, but you see them. And now they're in another relationship with somebody who is similar to you, has similar interests, or, you know, maybe it is a kinky thing and they've got similar kinks to you. And you're watching them do the things you couldn't pay them to do in your relationship. Now, first of all, if you're mad, I'm totally with you. I was mad the first dozen times I ever saw that. But part of that, part, one sliver of it, is likely because they weren't with, y'all weren't the right combination. There was something about that combination of the two of you together that they didn't want to put in the energy. They weren't trying as hard. There wasn't something within them compelling them to go, I'm going to stretch myself and grow here. I'm going to try extra hard. Should they have? I mean, that's debatable. If they had put that energy in and they were still the wrong person for you, you'd have spent a lot of time together with the wrong person. It would have been nice if they had, because our feelings of self-worth can plummet when we see that. When we see that somebody we were with put in no effort with us, and the next person, they put in all the effort. But I think that the retrospective view of that, and when you're stepping away from it and you're outside of the heartache and outside of the situation, is that's just proof they weren't the right person for you. The same is, that's true of any flavor. That's true of any relationship. My best relationships were people who were committed with me and we were trying together, even when it didn't work out, even when we both had to go, this isn't going to work. Like, that happens. And the worst relationships were the ones where one of us, usually me, but not always, were putting in all the effort and the other person just wasn't. You know, they didn't have the skills. They didn't have the knowledge. They didn't have the desire. There were a lot of somethings that were missing. And so that's why we say, go to FET and you're going to see people violating consent, breaking trust, not communicating, because that's a human issue. It's not a kink issue or a vanilla issue. So it goes back to my initial thought when I read this question. Do DS relationships require or have more trust and communication than vanilla relationships? That's not really the question. The question should be, should they? Because the answer is no, they should not. Healthy vanilla relationships, healthy DS relationships are different, and yet they both do really, really well when everybody's communicating and everybody's working to maintain trust and to build it and to keep it. Like, that is a fact. The difference is, in DS, we speak more directly about it. You've got resources like us, you've got other people, you've got people in your local community who'll stand up at the munch and tell you things they've learned or whatever. We're talking about it because the outcomes without trust and communication are bad regardless, kink or vanilla. The difference is, in the kinky world, somebody's getting hurt, and not just in the heartbreak kind of way. We play on the edge of boundaries, on limits. We play out on the edge between what people would perceive as safety versus danger. We hit one another. We call each other names. We cause pain. We tie each other up. We put ourselves in very precarious physical and mental
positions that many, not all, but many vanilla couples and people just don't. And so we have to think about it much more directly. But yeah. If we were thinking about it on a vanilla space outside of kinky sex, the way that kinksters think about it, you would probably have a lot more healthy vanilla relationships and also a lot more breakups, because just like the amount of people who go, oh my God, you did that thing on red flags and I looked at the person I was with and went, oh my God, they're checking all the red flags, I'm out the door. Mm-hmm. If we could have those kinds of conversations and the vanilla side of things more often, then more people would go, oh shit, that person ticked all those boxes, I'm out the door, I'm going to go try to have a healthier relationship with somebody else at some other time.
I think too, what makes a big difference is, and I kind of can say this because I'm older than dirt anyway, back when I was a kid, you know, nobody really teaches you communication skills.
No, God, no. Right? No.
And even today, you don't get so much of that. What does make it easier, though, today is there are websites, there are smartphones that you can access information on. There's books written on communication. There's people who do TED Talks, videos, YouTube, about communication, learning communication, practicing, exercising it, different ways of doing it. Even DS, you know, there's workshops mm-hmm. you can attend on being a good communicator. So I think today that information on learning communication is also more available than it used to be. You know, yeah, you know, things like that were not there when I was growing up.
No, me neither. I mean, by a 90s kid here, 80s, 90s kid, you could certainly find books on self-help on how to be a better communicator. But yeah, the plethora of information at this point in life, if you know communication is a skill you don't have and you still don't have the skills, it is probably because you're not actively looking for how to get the skills, because mm-hmm. the information is out there. The examples are out there.
Yeah.
But somebody pointed out in the live stream chat that they were surprised by how much communication occurs in DS dynamic after spending so many years emphasizing the importance of communication in their vanilla relationship. And I would be curious, and if anybody's ever experienced this, I would love to hear from you, because on a lot of ways, I would say that is absolutely true. I tried to be a good communicator in my vanilla relationship. Sometimes I failed because once I stopped caring, I had nothing to say. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. But I would be very curious if anybody has ever taken the level of communication we apply in DS and applied it to vanilla life and mm-hmm. what kind of outcome they had. Because I would say, theoretically, that would be awkward and weird, right? In a way that's not always awkward and weird in DS, but that it would probably improve outcomes for people who do it once you got comfortable with it. Because, you know, in DS, one of us is not making a move, kinky or just power exchangey, without the other one kind of yeah. clarifying what we need, what we mean, what's going on. Well, what if you did that in vanilla surroundings? I mean, something as simple mm-hmm. as, I think other people have probably experienced this. This is not just our, like, kinky communities.
Yeah.
You go to a munch, nobody who has already not been given the implicit permission, because we're friends, because we have that connection, to hug me is hugging me without asking for permission. Well, what if we did apply that in the vanilla world, you know? Yeah. Or what if during, you know, kinky sex that we have, or just kinky fuckery, and he goes, okay, I'm going to tie this arm to this body part. Tell me how that feels, right? Like, that's part of our power exchange. That's part of our bondage experience. He's telling me he's giving me explicit information about what he's doing. He is still in control. I give feedback one way or the other. Well, go to vanilla sex. Okay, I'm going down. I'm going downtown. I'm going down on you right now. You tell me if I'm going too fast, too slow, not doing it right. Like, wouldn't we have better outcomes if you applied the level of communication in DS to vanilla? I would be really curious to hear, and if there's a resource out there, point me to it, to hear from really, you know, long-lasting, solid vanilla relationships who talk about their level of communication, you know? Yeah. I've never come across a genuinely happy, healthy, long-term vanilla relationship, it doesn't have to be married, just long-term, that didn't have some level of understanding and trust.
And good communication. Yeah.
I think they exist, I just don't think we talk about them in the same way. You know, in BDSM, yeah, we are very much... Because it keeps everybody safe, we are very much about educating ourselves and one another.
Right.
And vanilla is like the default. It's, oh, everybody knows about that, except nobody knows about that. Good Lord, we can't even get good information in sex ed, so how do any of us know anything?
Mm-hmm.
And it's considered to be understood. And the moment you start, oh, it's implied and understood is when everything goes off the rails. And so I guess I would like to see BDSM communication principles applied to vanilla life.
Yeah. Matthew made a good point. He's in his first DS, or they are, and he says the communication seems to be easier. And I think that is kind of a thing. And my belief is, I think it's because of the things that we do in DS lifestyle, between the power exchange, between the kink, it is easier to be less judgmental. So you're more open to listening to things.
I would say that. I would also say that part of it comes back to the emphasis that most of, not all, but most of the community in the lifestyle places on communication. So you usually, well, not always, you walk into the DS dynamic knowing, oh, we got to talk about it. Because everywhere I go, they're telling me I got to talk about this
But
stuff.
Communication is not just about talking.
Sure.
It's about listening.
Yes.
And you know, being willing to take in and understand what the other person is trying to say, what the other person is feeling.
And then adjusting and adapting to that.
Yeah.
It's not enough to go, here's what I want, here's what I think, I'm going to talk at you for an hour, like Kayla Lords does. It also then, yes, is I'm going to listen to you, and you're going to tell me what's on your mind. And now, I'm going to take the information you've imparted to me, and I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to take the information I know to be true for me. Mm-hmm. And now what we're going to do is we're going to try, if possible, to find this middle ground, this compromise, where we're both happy with what we're doing. Or we're both satisfied with the outcome of what's this interaction is about.
Yeah, because communication is not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. You can talk all you want.
Mm-hmm.
But if nobody's listening, not really communicating.
No, and if you are, listening to somebody, but the whole time you're thinking, this is what I'm going to say as soon as they're done talking, you're not actually
listening.
And I say that as somebody who is guilty of it. I have to stop myself
from doing it too.
All the time.
One of the best things, and you may remember who said this, and I try to think in these terms now about going into a conversation and asking that person, what do you what do you need from me?
Right.
Do you need me to just be an ear? Do you need validation? Do you need advice? Or I think there's four.
Advice, validation, to vent. I think there was four and I can't think of what it is.
Okay.
But basically, yeah, what do you need from this so that I know how to respond? And somebody said in the live stream chat that they've switched to DS with their spouse, and now their spouse is finding it easier to communicate with coworkers. And that's the thing I love. We've said this in other episodes when we talk about communication. The skills you learn in BDSM completely transfer over.
Yep.
I'm a better communicator with my kids than I used to be. Now, granted, they're also older. That makes it easier. But I do use some of the principles that we use in our power exchange. When I'm working with clients, I use some of those principles.
Yeah.
I actually use some of the top dom kind of principles. I'm not trying to be a service sub for my clients. I mean, provide service. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But I want to be a service top in that situation, in that dynamic. I think, and that for me was sort of the joy of it. I think I noticed this a little bit because I was still working the corporate job when I found that I was kinky and got into DS and all that and was starting to learn some of these things. I think I probably, some of that translated over a little bit for me too, because what happened was for me, I got better at explicitly saying what I think and explicitly saying what I want. And yeah. those skills, yeah, a lot of us relate very deeply to them. And kink, it's how you get the kinky thing that you want. But that is how you get the things in life that you want. Like, mm-hmm. you know, finding the right balance. And if you look at your whole life as a series of power imbalances and exchanges, your boss and you. You, if you're the boss and the people who work for you. When you, you know, hire somebody to a service for you and you're paying them for a service, there's a power imbalance. You know, parent-child is already an inherent power imbalance. Like, these things exist all through our lives. And some of the principles, if not all, of BDSM and DS can apply to them. It is a little bit different, though, if the other person doesn't know the rules of the game and what you're doing. Yeah. I mean, that is the big difference with BDSM, is that assuming both parties in the dynamic are aware of what you're trying to achieve, and they aware that there is the power exchange, then that's the common basis everybody's on. Whereas outside of that, people don't always see it that way. They don't view life that way. They might somewhere deep internally recognize there's a power imbalance and they don't want that to be true. Like, it's not as seamless and simple as going, I'm gonna take all my communication skills from DS and apply it over here. Most of them do work, but it's got its own little difficulties, like little things that don't quite work and you have to adjust to. But back to the original thought exercise, which, see, brought out lots of thoughts. Mm-hmm. Told you it would.
Mm-hmm.
I think that healthy relationships, regardless of power structure, need trust and communication. Yeah. I think the skills that we focus on in BDSM and DS can, should, and could easily be applied to vanilla, but the vanilla world does not think of it the way that we think of it, does not talk about it in the same way that we talk about it. And so therefore, it can appear that we focus on those things and it's, you know, less important in vanilla relationships. Relationships with people always need, good, healthy relationships with people always need some level of trust and communication. Yeah. They all do. And if more non-kinky folk were taught some of the skills that we teach ourselves over here in BDSM, they would get rid of bad partners quicker. They would stay with good partners longer. They would probably have more happy, healthy vanilla relationships, or quite frankly be single more often, because you'd look at somebody from a mile away and go, oh no thank you, and you'd move on. But you know, there's not the same emphasis in the non-kinky world as there is in the kinky world. And I understand why there is the emphasis in the kinky world, because it keeps us physically, emotionally, and mentally safe. But that doesn't mean that the rules and the methods can't be applied. And I truly think that there are vanilla relationships who apply a lot of the same kinds of things. The level of communication, the importance on trust, the, you know, say what you mean what you say, be explicit, don't do the you should know what I'm thinking. Think about that. In DS, that's a red flag for either side of the slash. If your partner goes, you should just know what I'm thinking, excuse me? Hell no. And yet that's accepted in vanilla life. Because that's for many of us, that's the example that's set for us throughout our entire lives. Whether it's media that we consume, or our parents, or our caregivers, or whoever raised us, we see that somewhere and we think that's normal because nobody's emphasizing it. Mm-hmm. So there shouldn't be a difference in how trust and communication are handled between the two sides, kinky and non-kinky. But there is, because the BDSM community said, this is how we keep each other safe. This is how we have happy, healthy relationships. This is how, you know, we prevent some, if not all, harm. We're going to emphasize it. Now, if somebody out here on the non-kinky side would emphasize it, you know, things might be different.
Yep.
Oh, I had so many thoughts.
Yeah.
So many thoughts. So those were all of the... So here's what happened. I got really bad about checking messages. And I was like, it's overwhelming. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. And then I'm like, let's do a Q&A. Not a Q&A, but like a response to the messages we get. And I knew of the ones that were here. I had seen those come through. And I'm like, let me go check FetLife. Let me go check here. Let me go check there. And I'm like ready, like mentally prepared to be inundated with all of these answer my questions. And you know what I was inundated with? Love. I was like, why did I avoid all of these accounts? Most people aren't asking shit. They're just like sharing their, you know, a little bit of their life, or they're saying, you know, thanks for doing the show. And I was like, I kind of suck. I made some of these messages wait for a very long time. a few things before we get into the bonus section. Okay. One, I just want to say recently we've gotten a few messages where people, they say it in their email or their DM. So I can use these words and it's not pejorative. They have word vomited all over us. And they usually like halfway through go, I am so sorry. I can't seem to stop typing. Like it's just all coming out. but they have said some of the sweetest, kindest things that have brought us both to tears. And we, if we have not already responded to those messages individually, we are going to, because those are not messages that get just sat there for forever. But it, to know that we have helped in even a small way, anybody who is watching or listening, is humbling. And for the people who have felt comfortable sharing their deeply personal stories, which are harrowing. Like, I'm like, I'm reading a novel here. What is happening here? That's, I mean, I just, all I can think is, oh my God, I hope we continue to be worthy of this admiration. I hope we never, like, I hope I never have to record the YouTube video of me crying and apologizing for anything. Like, oh my God. It's overwhelming in a good way. It's humbling. It's amazing. It makes me want to cry right now, and I'm not going to cry. It's not going to happen. This is not the Thanksgiving miracle we all came here for. but just know that we put this out here because we wanted to have conversations about these things, because they were, especially in my head, there's a lot in my head. I just wanted to say these things. And I did hope that it would help somebody and it would prevent people from going through crap that maybe they didn't need to go through, and they could circumvent some of the hardest parts of relationships in general. But to know that we are actually helping people in small ways, big ways, that's kind of what makes it easier to come back here week after week, even when I am exhausted and I'm like, ooh, I'm supposed to be making a cheesecake right now. I'm like, no, I'm going to go talk to everybody, and and I know you feel the same way. We don't think our opinions are always right. We don't think our opinions are the only valid ones. We see it through a specific lens that we are constantly growing and changing too. Anybody who's listened to the back catalog, you would probably know better than I would on how some of our opinions have probably changed over the past now 4 years. And also maybe how we speak about things has changed, because we are constantly learning and growing too. So it's for us recording, if you're listening on podcast, it's the day after Thanksgiving, but we're recording the day before Thanksgiving. And so I mostly want to say thanks. Thank you. To everybody, whether you buy a thing or you join Patreon or you watch a YouTube ad, I'm just saying, if you got 30 seconds, just watch a YouTube ad. You don't have to do it. The fact that you're just listening, the fact that I can see the little download numbers going up, I can see the views going up on, I see our blog numbers, like I see all of it, and I'm like, there are people, and they are coming back. We have not scared them off yet. And then I take 2 weeks away from FetLife and I come back to like 30 unread messages. You know, we didn't know this would happen. We're not, you know, actually going, I want to, you know, be the person everybody comes to for be decent. Like, I don't, that's too much responsibility. But we thank you for your attention and your focus and your words and your thoughts and the fact that you have not unsubscribed yet, even though I'm sure there have been times there somebody out there is like, will this bitch ever get to her point? Like, excuse me, I keep hiccuping. So yeah. What else? Real quick, because I say it all the time, but like now that I've just like said thank you very much, I'm gonna get my hand out here. If you're a podcast listener and the app or the system you use has a review system, reviews do help. People tell, we get messages all the time where people are like, I just found you on Spotify. I started at episode 123. And I'm like, ooh, you've got a ways to go because we got some more. But those reviews do work. So if you are listening and your app or your whatever has a star system, or you don't have to type anything. I mean, I like that, but I don't read them. Just so you know, reviews are not for the creator. Reviews are for the other people who might listen. And if you watch us on YouTube, thumbs ups are always good. Mm-hmm. Subscribing is always good. Yeah.
And hitting that notification bell that so you always know when we're
house divided. Stuff. But those things help other people find us. Those things tell the algorithmic tech gods that somebody actually kind of likes what they're getting here. And so then they bump us up a little bit. I mean, my big dream is to one day, under the sexuality section of Apple Podcasts, to be on that like main like top 20 or top whatever page, like that, to see the little loving BDSM. There probably never will, because we've got BDSM in our name, and oh lord, that's terrifying, right? The children. But it is a dream. So yeah, I also want to say there's several things. There's all kinds of things. But the most important one was thank you.
Yes, and absolutely. Thank you all.
We don't look at people and go, oh, well, you bought something, or oh, you were a patron, and so you get more thank yous and, you know, more love. That, like, we're just happy you're all here. Yeah. There are other things. There were more announcements, and I didn't want to put them all at the beginning, and now I'm feeling like distracted because I'm like, oh, okay. I got all emotional. It is holiday shopping season. Next week will be our top toys of the year. If we have coupon codes for something and you're thinking about shopping and there's some toys you want, we will have those next week. That'll be the week of, numbers are hard, that's the week of December 4th. But we are also on our blog putting out some holiday deals that we know about.
Yeah.
So again, no pressure, but because I get the DMs, hey, do you have a coupon code for this company? I have to go, not right now, but as soon as I do, I'll let you know. So that's coming. We are not completely immune to the holiday season. Our holiday shopping has been new office chairs. That was a business expense. And then our Christmas present to ourselves is a smart TV instead of the decade-old TV that we've been using, which has served its purpose. It's
the one
great.
That doesn't always turn on when you want it to.
I know, but once it's on, you get to watch your show. But we're gonna take advantage of Black Friday deals and get that's our present to ourselves. We're like not buying each other anything else, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Like, don't be surprising me with shit, because then I get to feel guilty. I mean, I love presents. Y'all know I love presents. But don't surprise me with shit, because then I feel guilty. Please don't surprise me with anything. Thank you. Stocking stuffers only. We are doing stocking stuffers for each other.
How big is the stocking?
I already have an idea of something I want to put in your stocking, and I don't know if it's too big for it or not. So that is coming. For anybody who's interested. If you're not interested, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. But yeah, if you're like, oh my God, these people won't stop talking about sex toys, that's why. Also, for YouTube viewers, I'm going to apologize now for the amount of product reviews that are coming out on video. We got behind.
We got severely behind.
And we got to get them done. So yeah, we're not just shilling for the man, okay?
we're trying to
honor our commitments.
It was on both of us with that. We both, we'll talk about other stuff in the bonus
later,
section.
Yeah. So I did want to say that. And then I do want to do our patron shout out that we do. There are certain levels where you get your name shout. We've got like almost 90 patrons. I could not shout all y'all's names out. Wish I could. But a big thank you to CDC, Cernher
78,
Chris,
and Devoted Cricket.
And B. See, I thought we were doing everything. We did not practice
No,
this.
We didn't.
We did not practice that. But thank
well,
you.
Well, I need...
We both need new glasses, I know. So what we did was we bought office chairs and TV. Priorities. We'll worry about that later. I want to... I just... Day before Thanksgiving, I just want to say thank you. again. Yeah. I don't feel like I can ever say thank you enough, but I also know somebody out there is going to be like, she says it so much, she probably doesn't fucking mean it. And it's mostly because I am awkward and don't know how to be grateful in socially acceptable ways. I usually come off as kind of cold and distant and like the Scorpio INTJ bitch that I am. And when I'm like really like all soft and gooey on the inside, I'm like, no, really, I love you. Thank you. I don't understand why you're here, but I'm so appreciative. So we should do the bonus section. Yes. Where I can be ooey gooey.
Mm-hmm.
There. And let anybody who is not a cricket go on about your merry way. And to all you crickets, yay! So, uh-huh. Yeah, we'll do our bonus section now.
Are we good?
I don't know. Keep it kinky, y'all, and we will see you next week. Can I talk to the crickets, Addy? Can I talk to the crickets? I feel like what you should do is get a magnifying glass.
It would have to be a big one from here.
A big one.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we both need glasses, but damn if we don't have new office chairs and a new TV. Or we don't have the new TV yet.
Well, I have to say, I put my chair together this morning.
It's a lovely chair.
And set it up. And after sitting in it, I realized, my chair was...
Yeah.
Way past due for being retired.
And yet, you know what? It's all about perspective. So the oldest, he's had a little like IKEA, little teeny like $20 office chair. He loved it when we first got it like 3 or 4 years ago. It was bright red. He loved red at the time. But it has no cushioning, no padding. Mm-hmm. It's like a very simple, simple student chair. And but it's got wheels, so, you know, and it's spun. He liked that. And it was red. And he's been using it for years. And we made the decision... The youngest, his bedroom has a desk because it's built into the bunk beds that my mom got them a couple years ago. But he needed a chair. So our whole thing was, okay, I need a chair because that's what happens sometimes when you buy the cheap thing. You buy the cheap thing and it falls apart. So the plan is the oldest gets my old work chair. The youngest gets the 14-year-old's red chair. Both adults get brand new chairs because John Brownstone's chair was easily 15 years old.
If not more.
If not older, right? It has served its purpose. It's done a good job. We're very, very thankful to have had it. But this is how perspective is. So my chair hasn't arrived yet. We had to order it and have it shipped. They didn't have I didn't want to buy the display. I was like, that's too many butts in a chair. I'll just take a new unboxed one. Also because it would have been more worn and blah, blah, blah. So, because... I know how long I sat in it. So my chair's not here yet. I'm still using my chair. John Brownstone puts his chair together. It's a 15 to 20 year old chair that he's getting rid of. We asked the oldest, hey, do you want to go ahead and, you know, temporarily use this chair till you can get mom's old chair? And even though it is like, it is held together with spit and spilled coffee and hopes and dreams. That's all that's holding this chair together. He's like, heck yeah. And that was a nice little perspective on the thing that I've been looking at for like 5 years and going, we need to replace that damn chair.
I'm actually thinking of using my old chair in the shop as a shop chair. Because
now you want it to also be held together with sawdust?
Yeah. Then I can just pour some glue on it over the sawdust and then it'll really hold together. Get another 15 years out of it.
No. I mean, you can do whatever you want. And I used to think I was a person who threw things away frequently. And I clearly am not. Anybody who's heard the story of the poor rolling laundry basket that was missing a wheel before I replaced it. So no, I do not just throw things away willy-nilly. But perspective is everything. He was like, oh yeah, this chair, I can get rid of the red chair. And the little one is like, oh, this red chair is so cool. Now give him 2 years, he'll be like, look, I need some lumbar support. I need some like armrest. Like, I know it's gonna happen. Yeah. And by then I'll be like, oh, I got
it's a student chair.
Yeah. It's cool. I do like shopping at IKEA.
Yeah.
We don't do it very often, but I do enjoy shopping there.
Mm-hmm.
Anything?
I've just been busy in the shop.
You have been. You've worked long. The kids are out of school this week for Thanksgiving, and so you've worked long days, too.
Yeah, I have. Monday, I totally didn't stop for lunch.
No, you did not.
Worked almost up till time to cook dinner.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday I did stop for lunch, but then I went right back out.
Right, and then I'm like, I'm so used to you coming in. When you eat lunch, that means you're done working in the shop and it's time to move to the computer or whatever. And I'm like, where are you going? What are you doing? And you're like, I'm going back to work.
I never even took off my shop clothes.
I know. And I'm like trying to wrangle showers here because I'm like, okay, so you're going to have to wait on your shower because the oldest took a shower and he uses up all the hot water and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm not taking a shower. I'm going back out. I'm like, what's happening? I don't understand. And I avoided late nights Monday and Tuesday by working for several hours on Sunday, which made me a little like a little overwhelmed. I felt like I was like, I don't know, I felt perpetually behind on everything. I'm not. Everything's clicking along like it should, but I feel perpetually behind. Partly because we literally have three review videos that we need to sit and record. It's that bad. Which then has the accompanying blog post that goes with it. So it's like, it's got to be done. Also, I could not sleep. For the past two nights, I haven't slept well. I was putting on makeup to record this, do the live stream today. And I'm like, oh, those dark circles are much darker than they have been in the past couple weeks. Because I, you know, I was going through my mental list. I write down the things I need to do to keep myself sane. But because of the timing of everything, like certain things have to get done today, Wednesday, by certain times, so I can make sure that things can be done like Thursday for cooking Thanksgiving dinner. My goal, my hope, was to make the pumpkin cheesecake on Wednesday. And that might get pushed to Thursday morning because like, and it's all this timing and my mind is doing that thing of, okay, you're going to do this and then you're going to do that and then you're going to do this, but then you're going to stop by this time. And if you don't have this done by this time, then you're, and it's this constant, oh my
go,
God.
Go, go.
So I'm having that going on. And then middle of the night last night, we're laying there. You seemed to be asleep. I don't know if you actually were. Your arm was dead weight on my stomach. So
I was asleep
like,
then, yeah.
Asleep. And I don't know if anybody has kept up with this or paid attention when I've mentioned this lightly in the past several weeks, but I've kind of been flirting with this idea of, do I have a channel that's just me, Kayla Lords? I have a YouTube channel, but I don't have any videos, available videos, viewable videos on it. And part of what stopped me, not just time and energy, but it's also been like, what the hell would I talk about, right? Yeah. And then in the middle of the night, ideas flooded in. And I'm like, I do not have time for these ideas right now. What is happening here? And then I woke up and the ideas are still there. I need to write them down and see if they still seem to be good ideas, you know, a few weeks from now. But yeah. And part of what I've thought about with a channel, using YouTube for my own channel where it's just me. I'm not sure anybody really wants to just listen to me. I think they really enjoy it when it's the two of us. I have found that even on Smutlancer, my other podcast / other website, the episodes seem to be more popular when they're me and Molly more. She's my co-host now on that. I think I do better when I have somebody to talk to and not just talk to myself. But I also want a space where I can talk about things I'm not already talking about. So KaylaLords.com, my personal site, that's my sex life. That's my mental health, which I talk about that anytime it makes sense to talk about it. But it's mostly my sex life. It's a lot of nudes. It's a lot of here's some sexy things we did. It's a lot of sex toys. It's a lot of like my life through the lens of sex and kink. And I like that. And I don't mind having that space. I'm not using that space a lot right now because I'm not having a lot of sex right now. Neither of us are,
no.
Clearly. And then Loving BDSM, that is where we talk about BDSM and DS. And I like having that space. And then the smutlancer.com is the space where I talk about writing and creating content and being a freelancer and making money and building audiences. And like I have these spaces where I do specific things. And I like that those are spaces where I do specific things.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that's like, but there's other things I kind of want to be me. Through a different lens. I want to be like the other part of me that's just like the lady who drinks coffee and reads books and stitches and really loves buying new leggings, except my budget cannot keep up with my legging
passion. With your legging habit.
Or my lingerie desires. Not habit. I am that woman who finds a bra or two bras that fit perfectly, and I wear them until they're like just held together by thread and hopes.
I have to take them away from her and throw them away.
You have to do that with all my clothes. The moment we find a hole in something, I'm like, oh, I can keep wearing this. He's like, no, it's a hole in the crotch, and that's not even for sexy fun times. Like, no, I'm taking this. So I'm really bad about that. But I want a space to sort of talk about and explore other parts of myself. And I want it to be kind of separate. Not completely separate from the sex and the kink, because I am a sex writer. I live a kinky life. It's never entirely separate. But kind of a place to go, I'm going to explore these other things without... So I don't know that it's ever going to happen. It could just be a thing I talk about for the next 10 years until people get really tired of hearing about it. And it becomes, by itself, it becomes a joke that there's Kayla talking about it again. But it might be something that I do. It might be, I don't know. But I do know that when the ideas flooded in, I went, oh, apparently my brain's been working on this in the background for a while. Thanks, brain, for picking 11:30 on Tuesday night to tell me what I should do. What else?
Somebody asked if about keto Thanksgiving with question marks.
We are doing a fairly keto. We have a couple of things that aren't.
Our Thanksgiving is going to be predominantly keto. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have two boys, especially the oldest, who thinks that it's a hippie diet.
And I think that's an age thing, because anybody who actually has any active memories of what it means to be hippie is like, no, eating meat, cheese, and saturated fat is not the hippie diet.
No. Which I get a big chuckle out of every time he says that. So predominantly, will it be keto? Yes, it will. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the boys, one of the things they requested that they do like are dinner rolls.
Oh, yeah. And for us, a big holiday family, because if they're good rolls, a certain someone named John Brownstone will probably eat one or two. Because you're not keto, you're low carb.
Yeah.
And so you pick and choose when you have
carbs. I've gotten to the point with my diet where my weight is hovering, give or take 2 or 3 pounds,
sure,
from where I dropped down to. And I've kind of found that happy medium where I can pick and choose what carbs I have and just to enjoy a little bit without totally going without and still staying within the scope of where I want to be.
Sure. And I still have the problem that when I go too high carb and I let myself just go, I start to have physical pain again, the same kind of problems I had, not as bad, but same kind of problems I had before keto. So keto is still the way I need to eat primarily. But there are lots of things we can do within that. And so with Thanksgiving, and it helps. And my aunt and uncle who are coming to have Thanksgiving with us. They try to eat lower carb. My aunt is diabetic. And so her doctor's like, here's the medications you need to take. And also please eat a low carb diet. Sugar-free as well, but definitely low carb. So I sent her a text message with, here are all the things that I'm making. And I knew they were doing, I said this, I think, at the top of the live stream part. They're making a keto green bean casserole. My aunt's so funny. She's like, can you eat cream cheese? I'm like, I buy cream cheese in bulk. Sam's Club. So yes, I can. The cheesecake we're going to make, it's going to take 3 8-ounce packets of cream cheese. And just a little bit of pumpkin. I'll make something else with the pumpkin. The pumpkin will not go to waste. Our Thanksgiving is primarily keto. We've got a smoked turkey. We're using the smoker for that. Very excited.
Yep.
Rolls for the kids and whoever wants to eat a roll. Peas, sweet peas, because the 10-year-old requested that. Me and my aunt were both like, I don't like peas, but anybody else who wants them, they can eat them. I'm doing mashed cauliflower instead of mashed potatoes. I genuinely like mashed cauliflower, so that's fine. I'm making deviled eggs because that's a nice little snack, and I make my own mayonnaise, so even my mayonnaise is like better for keto than store-bought mayonnaise. What else? We've got an apple pie. That'll be for anybody who wants to eat carbs. I won't have apple pie because we've got the pumpkin cheesecake, which will be keto. Creamed spinach. I found that in the store. I had to read the ingredients. It's got a couple of things that I probably shouldn't eat, but I can eat a little bit of it and be fine. And then, yeah, that's our Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
No cranberry sauce. Somebody asked earlier, no cranberry sauce. I don't like cranberry sauce.
And Jennifer mentioned about how she lived on and off in a commune. Like, I'm with you. I did.
You did too.
I did,
yeah,
too, when I was back in the day.
That's,
yep.
Yeah. And that's the real hippie thing there.
Yep.
We're going to talk hippie. I know. I'm like, wait, no. Actually, the hippies are really mad about the keto and carnivore diet. This is not the hippie diet. But generations change and viewpoints change.
Yes,
and so
yes,
now
yes.
What is hilarious is I'll make some meal that's like hella keto. Like, I made a crock pot crustless pizza that, instead of obviously crust, that's made of bread, the base was ground beef and cheese, mozzarella cheese, and then it was topped like you would top a pizza. That was delicious. Mm-hmm. And the kids were like, this is delicious. And I'm like, it's that hippie diet you don't like.
Right.
And I felt really good about myself.
There you go. And CDC, yeah. I'm so glad you like the coffee scoop, and the others are on their way.
Yes, CDC bought all the coffee scoops that he made. I'm not mad about it.
Thank you.
You want to know how I bought that office chair last night? I was like, oh yeah, that's right. We sold 5 coffee scoops this week. A fucking office chair. I'm putting this in the bonus section because only, and at this point, an hour and a half into the live stream / podcast, because if you are still here at this point, you are clearly a true fan, or you like watching a train wreck. I don't know which. But I'm putting this out there to y'all, and however this plays out, a challenge was issued in the Staples last night we were buying off, before we even knew we were going to buy office chairs. So I am the shipping department of whatever John Brownstone makes that we ship out. Okay. So his vanilla stuff, the kink stuff, if it's something that you buy and we physically ship out, that is my job. Which is why, if you've ever bought anything and you've been like, why is there so much bubble wrap and why is there so much packing? It's because I'm paranoid. Okay. It's an anxious thing. I need to sleep at night. We recycle a lot of stuff. That's old newspaper. That's packing material from other shipments we've received. Like, I reuse things a lot. Anyway.
Yeah.
I desperately want a shipping printer label machine so that the shipping labels come out as stickers and you just stick them on the box or the envelope or the whatever. What we do now is we print it from our printer. I cut it out. My OCD, which diagnosed OCD, hates that because I cannot cut a straight line to save my soul. And I'm following the lines and I'm like cursing and I don't have time to slowly cut shit, but I'm still doing it. And then I have to tape it to the box, which is all fine. We have tape. I have a tape gun thing. It's great, like a professional shipper or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Except what happens is my tape crinkles and then in the middle there's like a crinkle thing. So I desperately want one of these label things so that the shipping label prints off as a big sticker and I just stick it. And then, yes, I'm still having to worry about crinkles and it not sticking, being perfectly straight and equidistant on a box. Like, I know. But somebody said to me that we could get one if we could get the sales to justify it. And I went, challenge accepted. Because there are lots of things I want. I'm already dreaming of the office we don't yet have in the house. We're not even ready to buy yet. That's another 3 or 4 months down the road. But I'm already dreaming about the office. I already know it's going to have a shipping section where all of my supplies can be laid out neatly. And I have a space to go to wrap things up in a box. Like, I already know. But the thing that I salivate over is that label maker for shipping labels. And kills me because Staples is having a sale on one right now. And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have bought the office chair. Maybe I should have purchased
You know what the terms and conditions are.
I know. Here's what's funny. This is how little S I am. Before we decided we were going to get office chairs, we're walking through the aisles and the shipping area of Staples. We buy our stuff either from, like, we buy it in bulk or we buy it on Amazon. We don't usually need stuff from Staples, but I like to walk through anyway. You never know if you see a little something. And I go up to the label maker and I'm like, I want this label maker. And it's normally $320. It's like, yesterday it was $180 or something. And he goes, he issues the challenge, and I go, challenge accepted. 10 minutes later, we're in the office chair section, and it never occurs to me. We're talking about purchasing office chairs. The two combined on sale more than the $180 label maker. But I'm looking at the business account. I'm thinking of the sales we've had. I'm like, we need this. We've been talking about this for 6 months. We just need to do this.
You're just tired of looking at my ratty old chair.
Also that. but I, and the sales were really good prices for the original price of the chairs. It never occurred to me to go, wait. Why are we talking about buying chairs? Why don't we take this money and go buy a label maker? Because the challenge had been issued. The terms had been set, consented to. And so therefore, I did not feel like I could renegotiate that in the middle of the staple. So now I could have a label maker, but instead I've got two new office chairs. And now I got to, like, so what I'm saying is, this is not a pity plea to nobody go shop, except you can go to thewooddom.com or shop.kaylalorders.com. It is that you will probably get really tired of me pimping his shit in all the places over the next several weeks.
Folks.
Because I got a shipping label printer doula. I don't even know that. I can't even put the words together in the right order to describe what this thing is. Challenge fucking accepted is all I'm saying. Okay. And yes, Silent Wings says they hoard packing peanuts just in case. Okay. Packing peanut styrofoam is so bad for the environment, and yet when they come in a box, he knows, don't throw that shit out. I'm going to be using it to pack somebody something. We had, at one point, we had a massive box of it. Oh my God, I was in heaven. I was in heaven. I could just pack stuff and put packing peanuts all around
it. Well, I guess you look at it as it's being...
It is being repurposed.
As long as it's being continually repurposed and not ending up in the landfill.
Eventually it will, but it will not be because I dumped it there. That is what matters.
And several people mentioned the paddle keychains.
Yes, I'm still waiting, but I'm giving you space because you're doing other things.
Yeah, I'm really tied up with the holidays for stuff right now. So my intention is that once the holidays are done after the first of the year, then that's usually my playtime in the shop to experiment.
Yeah.
And play with things, and that's what I'll be, get to do that after the holidays.
Yeah, Ben mentions biodegradable packing peanuts.
Yes.
We actually, what's funny is if I were purchasing them, that's what I would buy. I never buy them though. I wait till I have some that somebody sent me and then I hoard them and I use them. That is part of my hope and plan and goal. Mm-hmm. When we have an office and I can set up a shipping area, a designated shipping area. And my computer just turned off. I can't see anything or any chats. Are we still streaming? I don't know.
Yes, we are.
Oh, good. Unless it cuts off in the middle, you keep watching.
Okay.
So,
That's right, because there is a time delay.
Yeah. So, I lost my train of thought because my computer cut off in the middle. But yeah, so I want to set up with certain materials and packing things that we need. And if I were to go buy them, yes. We try to buy biodegradable things or environmentally friendly things for that purpose. But right now I use a lot of recycled stuff that comes to us because Lord, UPS, mail, post office, and FedEx are pretty much at our door almost every day with shipments and stuff, especially now with the holidays. So I guess my computer turning off is the internet
the
god
signal?
Saying, shut the hell up already. sorry, y'all.
So thus far it seems to still be going.
Yeah, we're somehow clearly the internet the computer was not needed for that.
No.
Well,
we probably need to say goodbye and figure out how we're going to end this.
I know what I need to do. I just got to get plugged in and turned back on.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I have things to do, but it's much more fun to sit and talk to the crickets.
I know.
If I could just sit and talk to the crickets.
I need to go to the bathroom now.
Well, you could do that.
I know.
I mean, not here. You'd need to walk away.
Really? Really?
I was mostly saying that for the smartasses who watch / listen, who would be like, what do you mean he can do that? Let me clarify. I mean, right. Smart asses attract smart asses. I mean, the snark is strong among our audience, and I love that about them.
Okay.
So, but I feel like you have to clarify yourself in these moments. All right.
Let's say goodbye to the good people.
I know, but I want to hang out with my cricket friends.
So, for all you watching us on the stream today, thank you so much for joining us the day before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Those of you that celebrate Thanksgiving, may you have a wonderful day with friends and family. A very happy Thanksgiving to you. And if you plan on going Black Friday shopping, be careful out there.
Please do. I'm an online Black Friday shopper. Mm-hmm. The place I'm buying most of the stuff, I already sent the email that their sales are starting on Thursday. I will be shopping on Thursday. For podcast listeners, I hope you, if you celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope it was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you can listen to us. If we are the break that you need to get away from family or friends, or if, God help you, if you're a retail worker, my heart goes out to you. I worked many years in retail and learned to hate Christmas because of it. I like Christmas now because I'm not a retail anymore. So shout out to all y'all. Please use our podcast as a distraction from the insanity of the holiday season and your own family, if you are with them right now or will be with them. And we love you. We thank you for taking the time to be with us and to talk to us and to listen and to watch. And you know, shout out to all my lurkers out there who are like, I'm here, but I'm not talking to you. Same.
We know you're there.
We know you're there. I am a lurker too. I talk to nobody on anything. I see you. I love you. Shout out to you too. Okay, all we're right. going to go now because somebody says I have to stop talking.
Yes.
I love you guys though. Love I don't you. Want to.
Thank you.
I don't want to leave, but I have to.
Bye.